This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hi, and welcome to Rough Draft, the daily podcast that delivers the essential writing advice you need to succeed online as a writer. I am your host, Damian Farnworth, the chief content writer for Copyblogger Media, and thank you for sharing the next few minutes of your life with me. So here's where we are so far. We use product performances, that is the function, to appeal to the emotions of our customers, especially in the headline. And we use those features, however, to justify those functions and desires, but never put physical features in the headline. But we've also discovered that each product promises to satisfy dozens of longings, but only one performance will unlock the door to channeling mass desire onto your particular product. Your job is to find the dominant performance that will do just that. So the question is, how do you do that? Well, you tease it out in your research. In fact, it's a lot like finding the hook of your product, or as George Lewis would call it, the big idea. About the hook, John Carlton said, "What is a great hook? It's the connecting point between the tangibles of the product and the hazy inner needs of your prospect." Those needs include a steep requirement for believability, a yearning for magic and specialness, and a staggering hunger for something that wakes him up. Let me repeat that. John Carlton said, "What is a great hook? It's the connecting point between the tangibles of the product and the hazy inner needs of your prospect. Those needs include a steep requirement for believability, a yearning for magic and specialness, and a staggering hunger for something that wakes him up." Now, here's why this is important. People will rush to do business with you if you can help them achieve their dreams and calm their fears and confirm their suspicions and help them cast stones at their enemies. But it's not that simple. Because in the marketplace of products, services, and content, life is like a crowded New York City street where your prospect is one of 7 million people who is already stiff-arming thousands of similar messages that are competing for her attention. She has her own agenda, and that agenda doesn't necessarily include you or your product. So if you want her attention, then you need to get drastic. And what's the best way to accomplish drastic? You need to catch her with the hook, the big idea, the dominant desire. See, you could have a great product, a revolutionary idea, or a compelling piece of content, but unless you position it with the right approach that instantly captures the imagination of your ideal prospect, forget it. Your hard work will get swallowed up by the clutter. You'll fail to sell, and you'll surely stagnate on the social web. In other words, nobody will notice you or anything you create. But the only problem with hooks or angles or positioning or the big idea, finding this big idea, is that they are not easy to find at all. I mean, legendary copywriter John Carlton said, "A great hook will hide from you. It's a cruel beast, happy when it escapes your notice." So in my experience, I've sort of developed this method for finding great hooks. It takes a lot of work. I've found it, I've used it, and now I want to show you how you can too. And I call it the 5 concentric circles research framework. That's the 5 concentric circles research framework. Now, let me assure you, that's a complex label for a pretty straightforward process. So, what are in the 5 circles? In the very middle circle, you have the consumer. And in the next circle, outer circle, you have the product, followed by the region, the national level, and finally, the international level. Now, these are arbitrary. I've made these up, but it's a framework to help me find the hook, the big idea, because you will have to dig. But let's unpack each one of these. So we always start with the consumer. We always start with the consumer. And we start by asking a few basic questions about our consumer. What keeps her up at night? And what does she dream about? What motivates her? What are her goals, her hopes, her dreams? And after we've exhausted our research on the consumer, we next study the product. We ask questions like, what benefits does it provide? And what stands out about this product? What makes it unique and distinct? And why should this product exist at all? If you don't know the answers to those questions, talk to someone who does. Talk to someone in sales or product development or customer service. In fact, talk to all those people. And so after we've exhausted our research on the product, we next look at the immediate environment. We ask questions about the market like, is this market crowded? Is it declining? Is it emerging? What weaknesses of big brands can we exploit? And does the government play a role? Are there any changes in legislations we can capitalize on? If so, take it. Your next step is to explore the national level. So what is going on across disciplines? Is there something you can exploit in another industry, an idea? Can you make a connection with pop culture? Often this will bring in a big idea. And finally, we study the global market. What are they doing in other countries? Is there disruptive technology going on? What about multi-channel marketing opportunities? So here's the thing. After you go through this exercise asking these questions, moving from the consumer to the product, to the regional environment, the national environment, and then the international environment, you may find the mass desire in your early research of the consumer. You may land upon what you think is the big idea early in your research. That's unlikely, but even if you do think you've landed on a good idea, wait. Wait until after you've gone through the other circles. It's always best to overprepare and to dig and keep pushing and striving and looking for that big idea, because when you find it, you'll know it. It'll be one of those aha moments where you are struck and you're like, this is going to work. And so when you find that hook, that big idea, that mass desire, then you work it in your headline. Go back and listen to some of the early episodes about how to write headlines to help you, particularly the episode about the four U's. Because here's the thing, listen, the battle is won in the headline. You've got to fight for that killer headline and you've got to win. And it takes work. It is a long campaign to write a good headline, but you can do it. I've done it and you can do it. And it takes work and it takes time and repetition, but you'll get there. So I hope you're off looking for that mass desire. And until then, if you have any questions about these concepts that we've been talking about, hit me up on Twitter at Damien Farnworth. Shoot me an email. Drop a comment on this blog. Let me know if you have any questions or thoughts or comments about this discussion. And we'll continue it into next week as we explore other ways of getting people to believe your claims. So until then, take care.